Welcome back to Advanced Biblical Foundations, and this is our series on parenting in the 21st century. As I've said in each one of our sessions, it is the most difficult time to parent there possibly could be. But God believes that you're the right parent in the right season in your child's life. And so what we've been talking about is that bottom line is that parenting is about discipleship. They are going to be like you. You're the primary influence in their life, and they're looking to you. They're going to be like you. You're actually modeling, and discipleship is not a program. It's a lifestyle. It is a full-time, complete commitment and dedication requires on your end. But the bottom line is, it's phenomenal. It's great. It's a gift. The children are yours to steward, and they are a blessing. And it's a huge blessing. It's really, if you understand it from God's perspective, it's all about helping you to grow and to be more like Christ. So he uses them in your life as he uses you in their life. So in this particular one, this session, I want to talk about session five. I want to talk about really understanding the seasons. Obviously, when they're in the womb and birth, I mean, it's such an important time. That's why there's such an attack through abortion. And what the enemy is trying to do is to snuff out life. But life begins at conception. And the reality is there's many, many studies that have proven this. It doesn't matter what people say. The reality is they pick up things in the womb. Scripturally, they pick up things in the womb. When Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist and Mary comes up with Jesus, the baby leapt in her womb. They pick up things in the womb. So this is not about all of that. I mean, there's no way we can cover that. There's materials out there, and I don't have specifically right now, but I just know there's a lot of materials about before the baby is birthed, during the pregnancy. But the truth of the matter is that for the first 2 or 3 years, they require a lot of care. I mean, a lot of care, a lot of love, a lot of nurturing. I mean, it is really so much and so intense. But the truth is that that's how trust is developed in a baby, is through the loving care of certainly the mother, but also of the father too. Both are important. And even in the womb, hearing the voices, they used to sing over the womb when they were pregnant. They would do all kinds of things. And so it's important. The kids pick up stuff. There's the unconditional love is absolutely phenomenal for them. What it does is destabilizes and brings security and brings so much into the child. So that's really important. Again, recognize that, you know, if you don't have that love, you can't give that love. That's what we've been saying all along. It's not about trying to be perfect. It's about understanding that, well, where I'm deficient, they're going to be deficient. If I don't have a revelation of his love and forgiveness, I'm going to have a hard time imparting that. But what I am going to impart is my own weakness, my own insecurities, my own problems. And so that's why it's so important to understand big picture is that parenting is about discipleship. You first, and then the child, and your children, and you keep growing. But it's so, so important that early age is that to know your touch and your love. You know that we did a deal some years ago about joy, how important joy is. Well, joy is important. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy, he says, I give to you my joy. Joy is not just being happy. Joy is a state of understanding that acceptance of God. But again, it comes from literally just the little child will respond to you smiling at them. Respond to, oh, I'm so happy to see you. That instead of being, what are you doing here? You know, what, you're bothering me. No, I'm happy to see you. Hey, light up, they light up. So it's being consciously aware of what you're doing, being aware of the fact that whatever you're doing is impacting them. If you're having a bad day, I get it. We have bad days. That's the way it is. But try your best to understand that don't let those bad days turn into a bad week and a bad month and a bad attitude. We've got to change. So again, we want to see good things happen to them. We have to live in a manner to help for them to rise up to that level. So these things are important. Your house needs to be a house of peace. Well, I'm going to mention that a number of times, but you have to be in peace. You have to live in peace. You have to experience peace. If you're not walking in peace, your house is not a house of peace. It's going to be hard to have peace in your children. So you establish peace. You don't allow things to go on there that's going to disrupt the peace. And I realize that you can't, you know, I mean, kids are kids, and, you know, if you've got multiple children, I mean, they get rambunctious and do all kinds of stuff. But again, you're a parent. You're in charge. They're not in charge. You're in charge. You establish peace. And so make sure that you're aware of the fact that, wait a minute, I'm in charge. I'm in charge of the spiritual atmosphere of our home. And that is what you do not allow the enemy to steal or to bring in some kind of weird stuff or in you so that it causes a lot of insecurity in your home. Now, children, again, I'm giving my opinion. My opinion is that you have to deal with, it's just their bad behavior. You have to deal with rebellion, and you have to deal with it pretty swiftly and pretty consistently and the best you can, even when they're young. Because it's really important that you don't wait until they get older. I've had parents say, well, they're so cute and everything, and they're just this mischievous. And I'm going, well, they are that, but at the same time, they still need to be disciplined. You may say, well, how early? Well, all I know is that dealing with animals, the sooner that you're able to connect to them heart-wise and through correction, not just punishment, but correction, you're connected to them really forever. Well, say we're not talking about animals, we're talking about a child. But your children, if you connect to them properly and discipline them properly, not beat them. It says in the Bible, beat them, they won't die. No, but the point is that they need to be corrected and there needs to be discipline. That needs to happen at an early age. And so you may say, well, that's just too young. No, they learn. And then what happens is, as you get older, things change. So no way is discipline supposed to be harsh. It's certainly not to be done in anger and frustration. And I've done all that. And I know you probably have too. It's not the right way. But at the same time, you know, it is something that does need to be administered, just as we read in one of the previous sessions in Proverbs. It is something. Love, though, is never conditional. Love is not based on the behavior. Thank goodness behavior does not change your love for them. Our love is consistent, but at the same time, bad behavior does need to be disciplined. You're going to see that self-centeredness. It's all about me. That's what they're born in. You're going to see rebellion. You're going to see them rebelling against things. You want to see them being a victim. It's all about me. It's my toy. It's my this, my that. Whew. I mean, all of that's from the fall we talked about in a previous session. So you're going to help them to get out of that. So the goal is what? The goal is to move them from it's all about me to where it's all about us. Instead of it's not about me, it's about we. Instead of it being all my stuff, I want this, I want that. We're trying to move them into, and again, you have to model that. You have to model that. How do we move them? So we're trying to shift them from just being so self-centered and self-aware, self-conscious. It's all about, everything's about me, because it doesn't get better. You've got to start early, and you've got to be consistent as best you can. They're sweet and cute as can be, but they still have these issues in them. And parents say, well, you need to be a little easier. Probably could be a little easier, but the point is that it's still your responsibility, not somebody else's responsibility. You have to be led by the Spirit. You've got to be sensitive to God, and you've got to be, you are the parent. You are in charge. The reason God gave them to you is because he thinks you can be the people to raise them up so they can serve him. That's the bottom line. And he uses them to work in you. Early as possible, lead them to the Lord. I mean, just it's a lifestyle. Again, you're talking about Jesus. You live the lifestyle. You walk in grace. You walk in love. You walk in the Bible. You go to church. You do those various things. But the bottom line is that, you know, you don't. It's not a forced thing, and it's not a religious thing. It's not a legal, you know, it's not anything like that. You just want them to know the relationship with Jesus Christ. That's, how do you know? You have to be led by the Spirit. You got to be led by the Spirit to know. But they may pray early. They may pray later. It doesn't really matter. The point is you just help them to come into a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Introduce them to the Holy Spirit. Don't hold back. Be free. You need to pray, talk to God. Whatever God has you doing, don't feel like it's, don't turn it into a religious ceremony thing. Turn it into a lifestyle of reality. This is how we live. This is what we do. We pray. Back to Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. It says, children, obey your parents and honor them, for it's the first command with a promise that all will go well with you and you'll live long on the earth. I cannot tell you how important that is to get that into your children, to get them to understand. Again, if they grow, you've got to help them understand the issue of obeying the parents and honoring the parents. Understand that, you know, I've had people say, well, you know, I'm sitting down on the inside. I mean, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. You know, that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is really helping them understand that, and again, they will only obey and honor you if they really feel like you have the very best interests for them. If you really care and have the best for them, your love never fails. God's love never fails for us. But if you really love them and you really care for them, then you really will help them. And this is one of the best ways in the world, I'm telling you, to help them. If they obey their parents and they honor their parents, I mean, the bottom line is things will go better in their life. It just will. And they will live long on the earth. That's a promise. So that to me is you just got to constantly help them understand that. Help them walk in humility and the fear of the Lord. These are attributes that they are character traits that God wants us to do. How do you do that? Well, again, you need to have and develop family Bible study. You need to develop family time. You need to help them with age-related sharing the truth. So all of those things are, you're going to have to be led by the Spirit to know what to do. How do you do? What Bible study do you do? You know, I've got people, our own teachings here. People are using them in the home to teach, and the kids watch, the whole family watches. Why? It's because it's a verbally, and then some of the materials we do have in print, and you can watch and read at the same time. So I just encourage you to do that. Again, you model, they follow. Whatever you do, they'll do. If it's important to you, it's important to them. Now, also talked about the fact of understanding their gifts and talent, because once you understand how they receive love, you're better able to help them in that particular area. And so once you understand the five love languages and you've gone through spiritual gift testing and understand how that they're, and we need to, you can get life languages as they will have it on the web for you. That's another great tool to help you understand your children and help them understand each other. Now, again, they probably need to do that ever so many years because the growth and development and what happens in their life. But the traditionally speaking, what happens, how God made you, you will continue to, no matter what goes on in your life. That'll be the strongest trait. That'll be the strongest personality. But all those things are important, and helping you understand and how to relate one to another is just is so, so good. So as a parent, I encourage you to help them in every way discover who they are and how God created them. At the same time, you, it will help you to know how to relate to them. So it's just really, really important. Now, as your kids grow, and it doesn't take very long now. Now everybody's using the internet. Everybody's using iPhones and all of that kind of stuff. There's a lot of information out there, but we all know the dangers of the internet. It's just like everything else. They talked about the Roman roads that were built in the early part of the, 2,000 years ago. And they said, what perversion, the sex trade, the prostitution, the illegal stuff that was going on through those Roman roads. Well, God used those Roman roads to spread the gospel of the kingdom of God to where it took nearly 400 years, and the whole Roman Empire became Christian. So internet's the same way. Internet's a tool, and there's a lot of bad stuff on the internet. So you're going to have to deal with that. You've got to limit their time. You've got to keep them. But there's study after study after study. I encourage you to do that. We don't have any here for you, but it's one of those deals where it's a thief. And what he wants to do is steal your time of you being able to spend quality time with them. And I mean, we go into places to eat and everybody's on their phones, and everybody is on, that's all they do. We've even seen groups that all they do is sit together and then they're on their phone. That's not communication. That's not relating properly together. And you can be anything you want to be and act any way you want to act on the internet, but that's not good. So all of that you're going to have to monitor, and you're going to have to be, you cannot be passive in that area. Preteens, early teens, you got to help them. Help them, you've got to start reasoning with them. And here's what you want to say. You want to say, what were you thinking when you did so-and-so? What were you thinking when this happened? Because what you want to get to, you don't want to ask why, because the old why word gets people into, well, it's not my fault. Somebody made me do this, or somebody else. But what you want to get down to is help them to think, what were you thinking? And when they say, well, I wasn't thinking anything, you go, I believe that. No, well, but what I want to do is back up and say, okay, but what are the steps here? Because what you're doing is you're training them to think through logically what's going on. And you must help them. We're not blaming others. We're trying to help them understand they are responsible for their life. Nobody else is responsible. They are. And they're responsible to God. They're responsible to the parents right now. But they're responsible for their life. There's consequences to their action. And so they've got to learn how to process these things. You may say, well, when and how? Listen, when they start understanding things, you start trying to reason with them. They still need discipline, but you want to build a dialogue. You want to build that relationship to where they're talking and thinking, and why do they do, and what do they do, and how did that work, and that whole deal. You want to build that relationship, but you want to help them think. Bottom line is, you have to model all of this yourself. You can't just be a dictator. You have to live it. You have to model it. You have to talk about, this is why I made these decisions. This is what I believe God was saying to me. It didn't look like that. I understand. This is why. Made a mistake? We need to say we made a mistake. We need to be open and honest. Because if you're open and honest, they'll be open and honest. Again, they're going to be like you. When our children were getting ready to turn 16 and 18, I can remember a number of years before, and I told Susan, I said, okay, we've got to be sure that by the time they're 16 years of age, that we've got them to a place to where they're able to take responsibility. Because if they're going to drive at 16, they can drive around the corner and they can be out of our sight. They can be on their own, whatever. So we've got to help them process and make decisions as you get toward this role. Because the bottom line is that if they don't, they're going to be in trouble. And then by 18, if they go to college, they're more than likely going to leave the house. They're going to be on their own. Whether it goes to college, go to the military, they go off to work someplace. I mean, we've got two goals, and that is by 16 to get them responsible enough that we can trust them with a vehicle that could kill somebody or kill themselves, and by 18 to where they're completely gone from our sight and they're able to handle so many things themselves in their lives. Now, that's the goal. That's what you want to do. Obviously, what does that look like? They need to know the Lord. They need to have a biblical-based understanding. They need to, again, you process through, why do you make those decisions? Those are not good decisions. Those are bad decisions. They need to understand their actions have consequences. That it just does. So you've got to be very involved with them, because when it happens at the teenage years, they have a tendency to drift away. They have a tendency to want to do their things. They will have a tendency to want to be with their friends. And so you can't let that happen. One of the ways to not have that happen is that your house needs to be a house of peace. It needs to be a place where not only your children, but other children want to be. They want to be there. They've sensed that peace. They pick that up, and they want to be there. You want it to be a place to where they're coming back to. Even growing up in years ago, I had friends that come over to my house all the time. They'd come over to my house when I wasn't there, be with my parents. They came over there, and of course, I didn't know what was going on at the time, but I realized now why it was. It was a house of peace, and their homes were not homes of peace, and they would come over and want to be in my house. My mother would typically cook for more than, I think, again, we grew up on the farm, and then we moved to the a big city of Corsicana, and, but she would cook we didn't just have individual servings. She would cook for family. That's how she cooked. And so we'd have some friends, they would know that, and they would make it there for supper. And, mother just set a plate, you're welcome here, and dad would talk to them, and they would just, they'd come in, they felt comfortable. They felt the peace of God. They felt welcomed. Let me tell you, that's what you want your home to be. You want your home to be a house of peace. You want your home to be that where people are attracted there. They want to be there. And that's what you can do that. Now, just a couple of more things just want to point out. Pick your battles. Everything is not a 10. Everything is not something, you don't hover over them to watch every little thing they do. You've got to have trust in God, and you've got to believe that what you're doing is going to bear fruit. You can't look at everything that happens and everything that goes on, otherwise it'll drive you crazy, and it drives the children crazy. So you've got to understand that there are certain things that you just know this is not acceptable. And if these are things that you have to do and recognize that, don't have to do that. You can literally pick your own battles, and you need to be clear that you make sure that you don't just pick everything as a battle. If both parents work, it's going to require really be focused on parenting. You're going to have to really work on it. And the last thing is that, it's a huge issue with fatherlessness. The fathers play a huge role. They bring stability into the house, and they bring security into people. And a lot of kids that struggle, as I said earlier, the prisons are full of people that didn't have fathers. So a father is not perfect, but a father is important. So fathers, you got to grow into the image of Christ. You've got to grow, and you've got to be real intentional. You've just got to be purposeful. Again, be a disciple, and you will model what God wants for our children. So I want to pray for you. And pray again, help us, Lord. We need you to help us to really live and model Christ-likeness for our children. But Father, we love you, we bless you, and we thank you. We thank you that you're so good, that, Lord, these children are your children, and you have called us for a time such as this to raise them up and to help them to look like you. The Lord, work in us. Help us to be the parents that you want us to be. Help us to be sensitive to your promptings, Holy Spirit, and then help us to really, in every stage of growth and every season of life, help us to be in tune with you so we can be a blessing to your children that you've given to us to steward. Father, we love you, we bless you, and we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for watching, and I hope this is beneficial to you. Thank you.